Right. Okay, guys, welcome to today's session. Once again, I've got quite a lot of stuff I want to take you through today. I was thinking about this morning. I was thinking about this program. I was like, you know what? I actually really want to over deliver for you guys. I actually want this to be the best 1,000 rand investment you ever made. Some of the things I'm going to reveal here, I'll be revealing them for the very first time ever. Like, they're things I've never shared, even with people who pay me over 100,000 rand for my services. Oh, sorry, guys. There is what I was talking about earlier. The lawnmower. Okay, so let's continue with the session. So, like I was saying earlier, I decided that I really, really, really want to over-deliver throughout this program. I've been revealing a lot of things that I've never shared with people before. And my hope and my prayer is that if you guys could just implement as much as you can, because what I'm sharing here is worth way, 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 way more than what you paid for it. I really want this to return your investment many, many, many times over. And I mean hundreds of thousands of rands, possibly millions of rands over time, you know, that you'll be using and implementing these ideas. So today I've got quite a couple of things that I want to share with you guys. The first thing I wanna talk about is, you know, what I've learned to be the two top skills of successful entrepreneurs. And I'd love to get a guess from you, you know, what you believe, you know, are the top two skills of successful entrepreneurs. What do you think those are from your own experience, from your own observations? What would you say? Like, top two things that all successful entrepreneurs have in common. What would you say that is? I don't believe there's a right or wrong answer for this one. It's really just, it's possibly a subjective thing. What would you say from your own observation? If you could go to the chat, because I do want to have these engagements with you, if you guys don't mind. Can you just hit the chat and just, what do you think are those two things? Love people and good manners. I like that. I really love those two. Those are not the two that I have, Laura, but I agree with you that loving people, for sure, because that's everything we can ever have in business. It comes from people. Everything comes from people. So I'll accept those. I'll definitely accept those two. Good manners, or we'll always get you places. I can attest. I can attest. What about other guys on the call? What about you guys? What would you say are the top two for you? What would you say are the top two for you? Top two skills of successful entrepreneurs. Anybody who wants to venture a quick answer before I proceed on this one? Punctuality and over-delivering. I accept you. I keep accepting. Keep accepting those two, Laura. Over-delivering. Oh, gee, wow. For sure. Definitely. Definitely. You know, because that's what value is about, right? Everything that you sell, the price should always be a discount of the value that people get. Anyway, Laura, thank you for contributing. I really appreciate that. So for me, what I've observed is that there are two things that money loves when it comes to business, because sometimes even good people may not make money. By the way, let me say, when I was saying successful, let me define what I meant. I meant successful purely on the basis of money, because we are focusing on money on this program. But the reality is that money is not the only or the measure of success. Let me quickly underline that. So what I actually meant, maybe I could have asked this question differently and said, from a financial point of view, what would you say? So what I've observed is that money loves these two things. Money loves people who love it. Money likes to go to places where it is loved, you know, where people are not ashamed of it, where it is embraced, where it is always welcome, where it is respected. So these two skills that I want to talk about today, they relate to money, because we're doing this program about money. Number one is raising capital. What I've observed is that successful entrepreneurs are very good at raising capital, and they never stop raising money, which I will talk about as we go along the program. They are always raising money. So here's a lesson for this one. The lesson is this. The best time to raise money is when you don't need it. The best time to raise money is when you don't need it. You know, unfortunately, a lot of people wait until the house is on fire before they think, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. Bills are due tomorrow. I need money. Oh. But really, we've all found ourselves in those situations. And sometimes we find ourselves even now in those types of situations. But now that we know that once we go through those humps, we never stop raising money. That's why you guys are learning these skills, so that you could implement them over and over and over and over, even when you don't need money. So that's number one. Number two, the second one is sales. Is sales. You gotta love what you do so much that you want other people to have it. If you've got a product, if you've got a service, why not get out of bed and say, I need to get this in people's hands today, because you created it for other people's benefit. I mean, let's talk about your books, Laura, for instance. I'm sure there's a ton of value in your books that when people read them, they get a lot of value. And in many ways, they could be transformational. So why not have a missionary zeal to make sure that everybody, you know, that you can reach in whatever medium or form gets this, your ebook, in their devices so that they can read it. And, you know, which means finding every way you can to sell what you have and make it a goal to sell daily. And that goes for everything we have in our businesses. So those two things, people who master these two things never go out of business, because you could be terrible in every other aspect of business. If you're good at raising money, if you're good at sales, you'll always have money coming in. You may be terrible at keeping it, which is the majority of entrepreneurs, but if you're good at bringing it in, then you can hire people who are experts at keeping the money, at making operational side of things work in your business. It becomes easy. Because if you could bring money in, yeah, then you can hire other people to take care of everything else. And you will never go out of business. So these two skills are key if you want to succeed, at least financially, in business. Now, moving to the next point. I've got quite a few points today before we get to today's challenge. Moving to the next point. What about, I want you guys to imagine this. What if you could, these things I'll be talking about in this program, what if you could make these part of your monthly plan? You're learning this now over the next 21 days, but what if every month you could pull out the list and put this in your calendar to actually implement every single one of these over and above your sales activities, over and above what you're already doing in your business. But now you add this layer. This becomes your I'm always raising capital side of things. Over and above everything else you're doing, but you also add this, that every month I'm always going to be raising capital, such that you actually set yourself a target every month, whether that's 50,000 or 100,000 or more or less, could be 20,000 for that matter. Doesn't matter. It's up to you. Where you say, I'm going to implement these things month after month, month after month, just to practice the skill of raising capital without going to the bank. What if you could do that? I bet that you would have more money coming in by implementing these things every month. And you may not necessarily need to spend or use that money or whatever other value you create with these. But what that could do for you, it could lead to another thing, which is a favorite thing of mine, called building cash reserves. What if you could use some of these strategies or all of these to say to yourself, you know what, as much as I'm tight with cash, I'm bootstrapping in many ways, but I'm also going to build cash reserves. Because the idea here is that when you cannot always get money from banks, you want to be the bank. What if you could make a conscious decision to become your own bank by implementing these strategies? Over 12 months, you could have a nice little pot of cash of about 500,000 rand that you generated just from these ideas. It could be less than half a million. It could be an extra 200,000. How would you feel having an extra 200,000 in a little pot there saying, that's just my bank, that's just me being my own bank, you know, that you raised over a year? What if it's more than a million, right? I mean, what if? This one, I'm planting a seed to say, look beyond the 21 days. Do what you got to do now. But like I said yesterday, the theme is the same. Continue to think beyond the 21 days. Let's move right along. So I want to suggest that you consider using these monthly and building your cash reserves. Then let's come to today. So what I'd like you guys to do today, over the last 2 days, the first day, I said to you, make your 1,000 rand back. Yesterday, I also gave you another target. Right? Another challenge. Let me just put it that way. I gave you another challenge. So today's challenge is that as much as I've given you a target of 50K for this program, if you remember at the beginning of this, I said, I've got my own target for you. Use these 25 ideas to make 2K per idea. That's my target for you. But there's a reason you signed up for this program. There's something that pushed you to want to do this. And it may have a number, whatever that thing is. It may have a number, a financial number. You know, there may be a certain pressure that you currently have or that you had at the time of signing up. You're like, I want to be part of this because I want to deal with that. Now, I want us to look at that. And I want us to actually take time, pen, paper, put that number down. How much are you exactly looking for this month that you would like to use what we are learning here to achieve or to reach? What is that number? Go write that number down. Number two, I want you to now think about what we did 2 days ago, where I said, write 1 to 10 things. Right now, I'm not going to say write 1 to 10 things, but what I want you to do, I want you to break down exactly the number. If the number is 50K or 100K or whatever it is, break it down. Exactly what goes into that number? What makes that total? What makes it up? Break that down so that you could see all the components of that number, what they are. Then, number three, I would like you to say, what can you eliminate? What are some of the things that could reduce that number that if you can get, and I'll give you examples here. I don't want this to be philosophical or theoretical. I'll show you how I've done this for a huge number, how I got 5 million rand worth of, you know, what I was looking for by using what I'm teaching you. Because I think that's why I wanted to do these live so that I can actually have time, a bit of time at least, to give you examples of how I've used these. Because it's all good and well to come here and be philosophical and leave things at high level. I'll tell you how I've used this. So what I want you to do, number three is this. I want you to then say, what can you eliminate there? What can you do that would reduce that number? Like, how can you get the things that you're looking for no money down? What can you negotiate there such that it gets eliminated? Because sometimes the mistake I see with a lot of us, we've been trained from a young age that if something has a price tag, it means we got to find the money and pay for it. But everything is negotiable. That's what we were never taught, is that everything is negotiable. Everything is negotiable because the money you're going to pay goes to somebody. But what if you could talk to that somebody and negotiate such that money is no longer an issue? And I'll share with you how I've done this. So that's what I want you to do. I want you to ask to be creative and say, how can I actually do these things without the money? And I know when you need the money, it may come across as frustrating advice. I know because I've been there. Okay. But I'm like, I don't want to hear what I need to do. I just want to know where's the money. Okay. I know. If that's how you feel, I've been there. I can relate. So I won't judge you. Okay. Now, let me talk about how I've done this. I actually did this with tears in my eyes, and I kid you not. Now, what do they say when they write novels? The scene. Let me set the scene here for you guys. It's January 2008. A few weeks before the end of 2007, which means in December, I hadn't paid my office rent for more than 6 months at this point. It's December 2007. I hadn't paid my office rent for more than 6 months. The office I was renting, the owner of the building was running his business within the building, but it was a huge building. So he was renting out one tiny area of this whole building, which I was renting. It was not really that tiny because I could fit a team of 10 employees. So he was renting this to me. And for more than 6 months, I couldn't pay rent. So in December, I decided to just hide so that I know he's going to go away because it's December, right? Now he's going to go to his holiday home and he won't see me. I was also going to go away. But then here's what happened. My car, I also hadn't paid for my car for a couple of months. And my car was financed by VW Finance. And they then gave me an ultimatum. See, I pay and be up. No, I'm lying. It was financed by BMW. Was BMW Finance, but it was a VW car, just so that you get the context of why I was confused. It was BMW financed, but it was a VW car. Anyway, so BMW said to me, pay up or we're going to repossess the car. So I went to VW and I said, hey guys, if I sell this car to you, how much would you give me? Because I knew that I was not going to be able to pay for this car and not anytime soon. And they told me that if I return the car before the end of the year, they will give me 300 Rand. What that means is that they'll settle all the debt that I owed for the car and there'll be a little profit of 300 Rand, which they would give me, right? But if I return the car in January, you know, if you understand how cars work, it would now be a year older because it would be another calendar year, which means I would owe them now, I think something like 15 or 18,000. I was like, shucks. And I wanted to drive this car, you know, to go visit my family, you know, in December. What if we have a vehicle, you know, to go visit my family? But then I had to make a decision. I figured that if I go visit my family with this car, by the time I come back to Cape Town, I will owe, you know, I was like, I better just take the car back. So that's what I did. Just before Christmas, returned the car, and then I had no car. Then fast forward to the following year, January now. Remember, I owe all this money for the office. January comes, the landlord comes back, and then I'm like, gee, I better go see this guy. I owe him around 100,000 because my staff, my employees, because I couldn't even pay them, they spent a lot of time on the phone. We had like a phone bill of about 20,000 over and above the rent for all this month. So I owed the guy up around 100,000. So I went to him and I had no prospects of being able to pay this 100,000. So I went to see the landlord. I'm not kidding you. It still brings tears to my eyes when I think about this. I went up the stairs to see this guy. He's angry. You know when you owe someone so much money that they don't even want to talk to you. They don't even want to see you. You know what I mean? They just want to see money. Okay. So I went into his office and I basically started talking to him, you know, and I said to him, I just want him to give me 10 or 15 minutes of his time to just listen to me because I want to talk. He said, fine. So I started talking. I started telling him my dream. I said, you know, when I started this company, I had a dream. And I started painting a picture of the dream I had and the dream I still have for this company. And I said to him, I want to give this company everything I have, but I can't sleep at night because I owe him so much money. I can't sleep at night because I owe him so much money. And I know that there are things I don't know. And I'm basically coming to him as a seasoned business owner to say I'm committed to paying him. But right now I don't have any prospects of paying him. But I've got an opportunity in my business. I've got an opportunity to acquire assets worth about 1 million rand. And I know that once I have those assets, my company, that's exactly what my company needs. It will take off because I can't make money now without those assets that I need, that are being sold to me right now for R1 million. And I said to him, until I can get over that hurdle, I can't even promise when I can pay his rent. And I can even move out if that's what he wants me to do. Of course, he doesn't want me to move out, because once I move out, where is he going to find me again? He's probably thinking the same thing. He's probably thinking that, sorry. So I said to him, would he consider looking at my business from an investor's perspective? Just as forgetting for just 10 minutes that I owe him money, and just look at this from an investor's point of view to see if there could be an opportunity in what I have. He said, fine, bring me numbers. I brought him. Now the whole meeting changed, because now it stopped being about, I owe you, I'm so sorry, but it became about, what can we create together? Negotiated with him for about 2 hours. We were going through these numbers, and now he was starting to come up with ideas of how I could set things up in my business. Long story short, by the end of that 2 hour period, he had agreed that he was going to go to his bank and raise R1 million. He wanted half of my business, which, guess what? Do you think I minded? I did not mind at all, because there was no business to speak of at that time, because we're not even making money. So I was like, gee, I'd rather have half of a business with this man who's already a multimillionaire, who's been where I am, who could take me to a better place than 100% of a business that I don't even know what I'm doing anymore, right? So he agreed, I got the money. But then, remember, I was buying assets. I told him that there were assets I was buying for R1 million. Now I've got R1 million. So I went to the company that had those assets. Those assets were worth R5 million, by the way, that I was buying from the company. But I negotiated them down to R1 million, because I said, I'm a small business owner. I'm starting up. You guys don't even need these assets. Just write them off and give me a discount. So the R1 million that I was supposed to pay was already discounted. But now I have a commitment of R1 million from my landlord. I took that commitment and I went to the company, and I went there and I was like, I'm not going to give these guys this million. Now I feel so emboldened that I can negotiate even more. I negotiated those guys to give me those assets for what? For zero. R5 million worth of assets for zero. How was I able to negotiate? Here's what I did. What I did was, you know, when you're going through a tough time, the one thing you have going for you is resourcefulness. That's one of the things I want to teach you guys in this program, is that it's not always about resources, meaning money and things. Sometimes it's about the good old entrepreneurial resourcefulness, where you see opportunities where other people can't see them. Because what I did was, when I was going through all of this, I was like, man, how can I get these assets for nothing? I came across, this was in 2007, 2008, guys, long time ago, I know. I came across something called enterprise development. I was like, what is this thing? But something about corporates, you know, it's good for them when they help small businesses. I was like, oh. So I read up a little bit, I read a few lines of this, and then I said, I'm going to go to these guys and see if they know about this, that as a big corporate, because this was a big corporate that was selling me these assets, that is a big corporate, they can actually help me as a small business, and it can be a good thing for them from a tax point of view and other benefits. So I read up about this, and the reason I'm not going to go into what I read is because I haven't done this strategy since. I haven't really had to do it, to be honest. But if I had to do it today, I would do the exact same thing. I would go find and read up about that. What are the latest on that enterprise development thing? And I would leverage it any way that I want. But that, reading that one thing, that just came up when I was doing my random search on Google. That thing, just finding that one thing saved me R5 million and gave me R5 million worth of assets. So, here's another point. There are many points to this story. Now, here's another point, is that you can actually get what you want from people you wouldn't even think of, such as people you already owe a lot of money to. Okay. You could actually go to people you already owe a lot of money to, because it's a pattern interrupt. They don't expect you that you would have the guts to come back and ask for more. That's what I did. I owed the guy over 100K, and I went back and I said, I need R1 million investment, man. I need R1 million investment so that I can create a way to be able to pay you back. And you know what I did in that meeting? I said to him, after he agreed to R1 million, I said, Would you consider converting the money I owe you to be an investment as well? Meaning the 100K I already owe you, can you add it, make it 1.1 million? Make your investment to my company a 1.1 million rand investment so that we don't treat the brand I owe you as debt. We treat it as investment. He said, sure. It wasn't that, he didn't just say, oh, sure. He thought about it and then he said, okay, I suppose, because you don't have the money anyway, so I might as well convert it into an investment. And then I said, I still have another 2 years of lease in your building. Why not convert that 2 years of rent also and make it an investment? Let's calculate how much I'll pay you in rent over the next 2 years so that I don't have to scratch my head and worry about where I'm going to get your rent money. Let's convert that into an investment. So let's just say the rent, I can't remember how much, I think I still owe him the rent for the remaining 2 years were around 300,000. Hey, the rent in that place was expensive, eh? It was around 300,000 for the next 2 years. So the whole deal ended up being 1.4 million, his investment into my business. But I slept peacefully now because I didn't have to worry about rent for 2 more years and I didn't have to worry about what I owed him. So here's the story, here's the lesson here. People you owe things. Firstly, they'll be pissed off when you go to them, but they will appreciate your guts. They will also appreciate your integrity that you didn't run and hide, that you came and looked them in the eye and said, in the situation I'm in right now, I can't even pay you, but I see an opportunity for us to do something together that could benefit you more than what I owe you. Do you guys get that lesson? And then the other lesson is that you don't have to always pay for things. Whatever it is you want right now, there are ways that you can get that without paying for it. The question you always have to ask yourself, what do the other people want? What can I offer them that would be so valuable to them that it won't matter that I'm not paying for? They would be happy to give me the thing I want without paying for it because they would get so much value. So to that big company, it was a good idea for them to help a small business because from a tax incentive and I think from a BEE incentive, it was a good thing for them to do that because they didn't really need these assets. Yes, they are like all of us. They wanted their 5 million, which ended up being get reduced, which got reduced to about 1 million. But in the bigger scheme of the size of their business, it was nothing. That was peanuts compared to the goodwill and the tax incentives and the other positioning that they would get by helping a small entrepreneur like I was at the time. So that's what I really want you to look at what you are dealing with right now, the things you're trying to solve, the money you're trying to raise. What are you trying to raise this money for? And come up with a list of ideas what I just taught you is generating in your own brain. Because I don't know what you're doing. If I knew, of course, I'd give you more direct advice. But I'm using my own example to say, what can you take away from this that you can apply in your situation? Not only now, for years to come. For years to come. Anyway, I think I'm gonna leave it here. I have another thing I wanted to say, but I'm worried about time. So I'll leave that one for tomorrow. What the other story? Because I think you're probably feeling like you're drinking from a fire hose already. Because I'm like overloading you with a lot of stuff. So I'll leave it here, guys. Thank you for being present today. I'll see you tomorrow. Tomorrow's Friday, so I'll see you tomorrow, guys. Let's leave it here. Thank you so much. Take care. Bye bye.